Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of September. Great to have you with me on the program today. You know, it's always great when you and I can hang out together, talk about Jesus, look at ways that we can get him involved in our lives. You know, what's amazing about the Lord is that he wants to be involved in our lives. He's always with us, but yet he holds back and waits to be invited. Kind of amazing, right? But that's really what happens. So instead of worrying, instead of becoming overwhelmed by the problems and the struggles of our lives, we need to get into the habit, and yeah, I really do believe it's a habit, of inviting Jesus to get involved and say, Lord, go ahead. But you know, here's the deal. Then we have to surrender to him. Oh, that's a whole different ballgame. Surrendering control to Jesus. Not easy. Anyway, today is, you know, I've told you before on this program, the way it usually works is I ask the Holy Spirit, I go to Mass, I listen to the readings, and I try to key in on a concept, a thought from the daily Mass readings, but I don't always get, for the purposes of this show and for my daily email devotional, I don't always get something from the readings that I feel I should deliver to you through both the daily email and this program. A lot of times on this show, I talk about what I talked about in the email. That's going to be the case today. Not always, but a lot of times I do that. This gives me a chance to elaborate a little bit more. But I wasn't feeling it at Mass today, so I did a little digging, and I'll let you know how this came about. My next go-to choice is to open up my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and look at the daily devotion, for this date. And I did that. Sometimes I don't get it there either. I think, well, that's not the message I want to deliver. And I really depend on the Spirit to give me a nudge to let me know what I'm supposed to talk about. But today's, I think, was right on the money. And it has to do with the incident where Jesus was speaking to 5,000 men, plus women and children. So we don't even know how many we're told. We could be talking 10, 12,000 people. Jesus is ministering to them, right? And gets late. And the disciples, Jesus' disciples, are concerned that the people aren't going to have enough food to eat because they're in a remote place. And they go to Jesus and they say, send them away. Let them go get something to eat. And then there's a few verses in here that really are great. But let me leave this for the program. We'll get into it. But it has to do with this idea of, I can't do it, Lord. I can't face this problem. You know, this mountain I'm looking at in front of me, it's just too big. And we go to Jesus sometimes with this conclusion that I can't do it. I just don't have enough. And then the Lord says to us, give me what you got and let's make this work. That's what we're going to talk about today. How Jesus fed 5,000 people with two loaves or five loaves and two fish. Incredible, incredible, incredible. So I think it's important for us because I know I've been reading your emails. And by the way, thank you for reaching out, letting me know. And I'm serious about that. You got a problem and you need to, you need some help. You need some extra prayers. You need some advice. I'll do my best to, I'll certainly pray for you. And I'll do my best to shoot you a return email as soon as I can. I can't always promise that it'll be immediate and it'll be lengthy. But the minute you tell me you need extra prayers, I'm on it and I'm praying for you. But I think we need to remember that if the Lord's allowing something to happen in our lives, he's going to bring good out of it, or else he wouldn't let it happen. You know, that's who he is. He's God. He loves us. He's all powerful. He can control these things. So if he's bringing us to what appears to be a impassable mountain, he's got a plan, and we can't panic, or we shouldn't panic, because he's going to get us through it. I think this story is going to present some really interesting conversation. It better, because I'm counting on the Holy Spirit and this Bible passage to get me through the program, but I think it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to like it, but thank you for continuing to hang out with me every day. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the donations. I just, I just found out today that the email service I use has increased the price substantially based on the number of subscribers. So it's going to be costing me more money. So I really don't have it. So I'm depending on the Lord to provide. And he does that for the most part through you. So just keep that in mind. I'll at some point put that in the email. Because I send daily emails out, it tends to escalate the cost, and I have to go into another level, and I really didn't want to do that, but you know what? I don't want to stop doing the emails. I don't want to stop these daily devotionals. So many of you who listen to this program have told me as well, you love the daily emails. They help. I can't stop it, and I don't want to charge for it, so we got to come up with something. So the donations are important, so thank you for your kindness, for helping me out, for sending along the donations. I really, really appreciate it. And I also thank you for the prayers. I thanks for your kind words, your support. I couldn't do it without you. So you're amazing. So there you go. Hey, let's pray, and then we'll get right on with it. So I'm excited about this. This is going to be good. I feel good. I feel this is where the Spirit is taking us today, because I don't want you to lose hope. God doesn't want you to lose hope. And if there's one thing I have learned in my life when it comes to our relationship with God, is that there is always hope. You know, I got kids, they're young adult women, my 22-year-old daughters, soon to be 23, Mary and Elizabeth, identical twins. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. Well, they're 22 going on 23 and healthy. My daughter Mary suffers from high-functioning autism. But, you know, for the most part, and Elizabeth had some heart issues that for the moment are fine, but they're healthy and they're alive. So the doctors told us there was a 90% chance they would die. Eileen and I were feeling pretty hopeless until we began to pray, and the Lord's grace started to lift us up and make us feel hopeful. So I know that God can do all things. And I really believe that my job, or one of my jobs in life, is to convince as many people of that as possible. To let you know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're looking at, is not hopeless. It just isn't. It just isn't, period. And you're going to get through it. And I'm going to try to do my part to help you with that, okay? So with that in mind, let's turn to our Father in heaven and let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for once again letting us come before you in prayer. Father, we can't see you. We can't necessarily hear you. We can't feel you. Always. Sometimes we can, but for the most part, we can't. But yet through faith, intellectually, in our mind, the gift of faith, as it resides in our mind, tells us that you do exist, that you are here, that you can hear us. And we believe that. That's why we pray. If we didn't believe it, we wouldn't pray. So we do believe, Father, that you are here. We know that by faith. We know that you love us, again, by faith. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't. We know that you can do all things. We see evidence of that in the Bible. We've seen evidence of it in our lives when we faced impossible situations and somehow we got through them. But when we're faced with a new problem, something that we haven't experienced before, or maybe even more challenging than something we've gone through in the past, we have that feeling of hopelessness again. Those feelings, they're not facts. The facts come from our faith and reside in our minds. And the fact of the matter is, Father, we know you can handle whatever it is that we face. And we know you're listening right now. Jesus told us you're listening. He told us when we pray, go to our room in secret and you will hear us and you'll respond. We believe that Jesus didn't lie, that he was telling the truth. So therefore, Father, we are coming to you. We are praising you. We are worshiping you. We are giving you all the glory, all the honor. You are holy, Father. You are righteous. You are truthful. You are faithful. You are omnipresent. You are omniscient. You are omnipotent. You're pretty amazing, Father. And therefore, we can ask you with confidence for what we need. We first thank you for all you've done for us, sending your son Jesus, preserving our lives up until this point in time. We're alive because of your providence. Proof enough. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Father, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for just being who you are and available to us. Father, therefore, we ask you to bless us, to bless our family, to bless our friends, to bless all those people in our lives who we know are struggling. Please bless them, grant them what they need, ease their suffering. Help us too, Father, help us to trust you more. Help us to feel your love, to feel confident in your power. And help us to remain faithful in prayer, to not give up on you, Father. Faithfulness. It's one of your attributes. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit as well. It's something I, as a person, am not especially good at. That's why I depend on the Spirit to help me be faithful, to keep showing up, to not give up on you, to keep on keeping on, if you will. Father, I ask you to send me your Spirit today. Give me the words for this program. And send your Spirit to all of us. Open up our minds and our hearts so we can be receptive to your message. Father, when we're done with this show, we pray that we're going to have a greater belief that that problem we're facing is absolutely solvable, and to be patient while you work it out. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, I could have gone on for 30 minutes with that prayer. I get lost sometimes, I really do. But I want you to know, and I hope it comes across, I believe it. When I'm talking to my Father on behalf of you, you know, we're all here. The way I look at it, we're all holding hands. No social distancing on the Following the Truth radio podcast, right? We're holding hands. It's okay. We're doing it virtually, so we're good. But we are praying to our Father in heaven, and man, I'm petitioning him for you when I'm leading the prayer, and for myself too, especially that I get the right words for the show. I don't want to mess this up. It's too important, you know, because I know he has a message for you, and I want to make sure that I'm able to deliver it. Hey, I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. Today is the Tuesday edition of the program. A couple of quick notes for you. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 6:35 a.m., I'm going to be kicking off a 9-part series. Actually, I kicked the series off last week, but it was just a general foundational program on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's going to be 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, so it's really early. And it's based on my book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. Guess what we're calling the series? Yep, Let Go of Anger and Stress. Now, last week, we set the stage talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit can do in our lives. And beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be going through each of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, we're going to start with love. What is love? You know, we hear about, a lot about love. You're going to hear on the show tomorrow when I talk to Matt Swaim about this. Love's not a feeling. Yes, sometimes there are feelings associated with love, but love is really a decision. It's a conscious decision and an action that follows that decision. I can love somebody even if I don't have good feelings about them. So we will talk about that, and we'll try to discuss a little bit more about how we can learn to love as Jesus expects us to love. So that's Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Then, God willing, I'm going to be back here for the podcast, you know, whenever you listen to my Following the Truth podcast. And just in case you're saying, we need more of Gary tomorrow, I know that's not going to happen, but tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to do a full hour on Catholic Answers Live on the radio program with my friend Cy Kellett. Cy's a great host. It's always great to be on with him. We will be talking and taking calls about my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. So, I'll keep you informed. There will be a lot more of these radio broadcasts coming up in the near future now that Let Go of Anger and Stress is starting to ship. If you haven't ordered your copy yet, Make sure you pre-order it at followingthetruth.com. It'll direct you to Amazon. The books are on their way to Amazon. They will be shipping very soon. So if you want to make sure you get a copy, take care of that. All right, let's get to business. Yes, by the way, followingthetruth.com, is that's my website, the place to go. Jesus feeding 5,000 people. All right, so here you go. You and me, we are facing this problem, whatever it may be. You might have a couple of them right now. I have a few in my life. Looking at them and thinking, how's this ever going to work out? But you got to remember that with God, all things are possible. And a lot of times we look at our problems and we look at ourselves and our abilities and we come to the conclusion that I don't have what it takes to fix this. I cannot get through this. By myself, I am not going to get through this. And you know what? You're probably right. Now, don't panic, because the deal is nobody is asking you to get through it by yourself. As you'll see in this gospel passage today, it's a good one. Jesus wants to help you, but you got to get him involved. You have to turn to him and ask for his help. Let's read this, and then I'll share as we go along. So I told you the, let me just read the story. We'll talk about it. It's John, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. This miracle, Jesus feeding the 5,000, is a big one. It is covered, because it's so important, covered by each of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all have their version of this. We're going to read Matthew's version. And again, if you want to read it again, and I recommend you do, it's Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. Okay, so Jesus had just found out that his cousin and friend, John the Baptist, has been martyred. He has been beheaded. And as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. And that's what Jesus did sometimes. He made that decision to consciously go to a remote area to pray, to connect with his Father. And that's a great example for us. If we're not praying every day, then we are doing something wrong. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't try to be too hard or too, I don't try to approach helping you to grow closer to Jesus with a sledgehammer. I don't operate that way because I don't think it's right. But you got to pray every day. 5 minutes a day. You can do 5 minutes a day. I don't care how busy you are. Find a way in the car. Take a walk. In the bathroom, in the shower. You know, I've resorted to that. While I'm taking a shower, I pray. You can find 5 to 10 minutes. You need it because you have to have that connection with Jesus, with the Father, with the Spirit. You've got to be praying. And Jesus did that. So he sets the example. But here's what happened. He went to be alone. The crowds heard where he was headed. He was headed to a remote area, if you recall. And they followed on foot from many towns. So Jesus tried to get away. The people followed him. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And what happened? He had compassion on them and healed their sick. So even before we get into the meat of this story, here's a lesson for you. Jesus had compassion on the people. He wanted to be by himself to get alone, but he had compassion on the people. That means, what's that mean for you and me? That means that Jesus has compassion on you and me, especially when we're struggling, when we're suffering. So that problem you're facing, he feels it. If you're crying, he's crying with you, and you are never bothering him. He healed the people. He healed the sick. So especially if you are struggling with a medical condition, please pray for healing. Pray for healing. Keep praying for a healing. It is perfectly okay. Jesus never encountered a sick person and did not heal them. He healed every sick person who approached him. So he wants to heal your illness. If he doesn't heal it as quickly as possible, there is a reason. He's not saying no. And sometimes we give up and we say, well, I don't want to pray for healing because I'm being a baby. I should be carrying my cross. No. Follow the example of what happened in the Bible. Went over and over again. People approached Jesus. Friends brought friends to Jesus, asked for healing. Jesus never once said in Scripture, offer it up. You know, quit complaining. Offer it up. He healed everyone. So he wants you to be healed. Yes, sometimes the healing takes time. Sometimes the healing is temporarily or more or less permanently denied. You know, you could pray. My father, when he was diagnosed with cancer, I prayed for his physical healing, and he died a month later. Sometimes the healing comes in the form of death, and that's really the way it works. I know that's not easy to accept, but the healing that at the moment was most needed was death. You know, he was healed from the cancer, but then again, sometimes we look at that, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the way Jesus operates. I really believe this. Because unless we can, we talked about this yesterday, unless we confront these hard issues, I prayed for my mother died, what's going on? Unless we do that, we're never going to have the confidence in Jesus that we need to. So we got to deal with the tough issues. And sometimes we have to work backwards and say, wait a minute, he loves me, he's all powerful, let me try to make sense of this. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to help, and many times you'll get an answer. Not always, but many times. You know, so my father's not suffering in excruciating pain. He was healed from that horrible lung and bone cancer that had threatened to ravish his body. I didn't like the healing, but my father was 80 years old, or he was 79 at the time. This was in 2002. It was a while ago. My father lived a decent life, and I accepted it, and he was at peace. And that made me happy. Not initially, but I knew it was a blessing in a way. So, yes, go ahead and pray for the healing, but trust the Lord to do it in the way and in the time that he decides upon, okay? Jesus healed all the sick. Now, that evening, so Jesus is ministering to a lot of people. We're told 5,000 men, plus women and children. Again, 10 to 12,000 people, quite possibly. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. Like he didn't know that, right? He probably knew that, but these guys were helpful. This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. Now, what they did was the disciples assessed the situation. And they said, we don't have enough food to feed these people. We got to do something. You know, they're trying to be helpful. So what they did was they went to Jesus. They said, it's getting late. Let's send these people away. Look, in their own mind, they were probably trying to be compassionate upon the people. But they were missing a very important fact. So once Jesus told them, or once they told that to Jesus, Jesus said in verse 16, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Oh, man. Now, when you first hear this, you say, okay, that sounds reasonable. We have not yet been told that there's a food shortage. So if you're reading this in a vacuum and maybe never heard this story before, it makes sense. Verse 17, the disciples reply, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, all of a sudden, you start to understand. Again, look, we know the end of this, but just let's suppress this for a minute and look at this as if we never heard this before. You can understand what they're thinking. 5 loaves, 2 fish, we don't have enough. Again, they're forgetting something, right? But Jesus said to them, bring them here. So they brought him the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, blessed them. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Look what happened. The disciples did end up feeding the people. But what happened that step in between? Jesus performed the miracle and took 5 loaves and 2 fish, multiplied it so that all of the 5,000 plus people could be fed. See, this is the problem you and I have. We spend all of our time looking at the fish and the loaves and saying it's not enough. You know what we got to do? We got to stop looking at what isn't enough, the loaves and the fish, and start looking at Jesus, because he is enough. If he has brought you to a situation, if you got a bad medical diagnosis, if your bank account is empty, if you know somebody who's struggling with COVID-19, if you have COVID-19, if you're afraid of getting COVID-19, if you're lonely, if you lost your job, and on and on and on, if he's allowing it to happen, he's going to get you through it, provided you turn to him and ask for help. So my advice to you today is do that. Please ask him for help. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Help me, Jesus. And you might have to tell yourself, Jesus, I know you're with me. Jesus, I know you can do all things. Jesus, I know you love me. Jesus, you said that you would always be with me. In the Bible, I read it. You said it. Jesus, you said, ask and you will receive. All right, Lord, I'm asking and I expect to receive. Your will be done, but I ask ultimately with the idea that your will is what matters. You do this in your way, but you got to help me, Lord. Please help me. And once you do that, you unlock the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And you're going to see amazing things. Yes, your problem might not be gone immediately. Your problem might remain. I don't know for how long. But you'll suddenly find yourself, maybe not all the time, but at moments, thinking, I can get through this. Or you'll feel a sense of peace. And again, it doesn't always have to last. But thank him for every time you start to feel hopeful. And maybe you're going to see major things happen. Major miracles, developments happen. He often does that. He often does these incredible acts. You know, it's not always just grace. Sometimes it's big things that happen. People come into your life. Things change. Circumstances change. Miracles happen. 5 loaves, 2 fish was enough to feed 5,000 plus people once Jesus got involved. I want you to turn to him today. I'm going to be praying for you. You turn to him and you ask for what you need, okay? The clock on the wall tells me I gotta run. Actually, the clock's not on the wall. It's on the computer, if I'm being truthful. But it was a pleasure being with you. Don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. Email me at gary@followingthetruth.com if you want to connect or let me know what's going on in your life. Let's keep praying for one another, okay? If you're able to leave a donation, please, you can do that at the website. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And God willing, I'll talk to you next time. See ya.